Hi, this is Jeff Curto, and welcome to episode number 152 of Camera Position, the podcast about the creative side of photography. Well, in the past parts of Camera Position, I've done a number of episodes of the podcast that I've called The Photographer's Bookshelf, where I detail books that I think a photographer should read, and probably more importantly, have nearby so that they can return to them again and again. Usually these are books of essays by photographers or about photography, or books of photographs by photographers, and occasionally about something else. And today I'd like to talk about a book that I suppose could make the photographer's bookshelf, but the book I'd like to talk about today, while a candidate for your bookshelf, for many of you might be a bit of overkill. The important bits of the book, however, are so great that I think it's worth heading into it to see what we can extract for our study of the life of the creative photographer. The book is called The Shape of Content, written by Ben Shahn. It is actually a collection of essays that are actually based on a series of six lectures given by Shahn, who was an important 20th century painter, and he gave these lectures at Harvard University in the 1950s. In fact, this book's publication date mirrors the publication date 1956, its publication date. So the book that we talked about last time by Alan Watts, The Way of Zen, published at about the same time. So it's pretty interesting that these books are coming out about the same time. So through this book, we get a great sense of Shahn's notion about how art can and should be learned, and more importantly, about his belief that art cannot really be taught, which is sort of an interesting concept, and we'll sort of get to that here in a second. So Ben Shahn, who died in 1969 at the age of 71, was a Lithuanian-born American artist. He's best known for his works of social realism, and I'll link to some works of Shahn on the CameraPosition.com blog page. But he's also known for his left-wing political views and, of course, for this remarkable series of lectures and the book that resulted from them. And while his lectures clearly indicate his belief that he was an artist first and foremost, and wasn't really all that comfortable in the classrooms at Harvard, he was obviously a really great teacher. He was that sort of teacher who understood that teaching art was not really possible. Instead, he believed that a teacher of art could only hope to facilitate the creation of artwork by asking the right questions, by poking and prodding with some controversial ideas in a way that pushes the learner onto their own ideas and questions and their own methods of creating artwork. In short, his goal was to inspire those who sought to live a creative life to experience life itself, free from any kind of restraint. So the chapter of this book, or the essay that Shahn delivered at Harvard University, the one that resonates most with me as I found this book on my bookshelf and went to the area where I had done the most underlining, from that book, the chapter that really resonated with me was The Education of an Artist. And in that chapter, in that essay, Shahn stated, "Perceptiveness is an awareness of things and people, of their qualities. It is a recognition of values, perhaps arising from long familiarity with this, of value with art and music and other creative things." Then he goes on to say, "The capacity to value and to perceive are indispensable qualities for the artist, almost as necessary as are his eyes, to look and look and think and listen and be aware. Education itself," he says, "might be looked upon as mainly the assimilation of experience. The content of education is naturally not confined to the limits of a curriculum. All experience is its proper content." And he goes on to say, lastly here, "Integration for the person of any creative art might be said to be the organic relating of the thousand items of experience into form, for the poet into tonalities and cadences and words with their many elusive senses and suggested images, the thinking of the poet must be habitually tonality and cadence thinking. As with the artist, it is color, shape, and image thinking. In each of these cases, the discipline of formulation is inseparable from the discipline of thinking itself. So he's saying here that what we have to do is we have to be aware of what's around us, aware of the recognition of values and understanding what it is that we value in life. And as I read this over the last week or so, what I found interesting was that as I read Sean's words that repeatedly encouraged the artist to step outside of their comfort zone, I noted that there was a lot of resonance with things that Alan Watts had written. And of course, again, you'll recall Watts from the last episode of Camera Position. Watts' rallying cry was to do what we love and to forego fear in the name of passion. Here's a short one-sentence quote from Alan Watts. There are many kinds of security, and one kind lies in the knowledge that one is dedicating his hours and days to the things that he considers the most important. So there we are. Sean teaching us that we are human beings first and artists second. Or in other words, we must always be living and learning and looking. And here we have in these two people another declaration of something that I suppose I've said on Camera Position many times, the declaration of the idea that the arts are really based on our interaction with the world and that art really only comes from our perceptions of the world around us. So thank you for joining me on this episode of Camera Position, and I look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast about the creative side of photography.